It's Thursday, the 14th of January, 2016. Happy birthday to Aaron Brooks. To the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Nick Verner. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast for one episode only, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, and you can be just like Nick, who brings you today's podcast. And a big thank you to everyone who has done that and left a review. It's fantastic, and it's a big part of the success of the show. So thank you to everyone who's done that. Also, don't forget to check out moneyball.com.au, Australia's best daily fantasy sports site, where you can obviously play a lot of NBA DFS action. There's NFL stuff on there, A-League, EPL, Big Bash Cricket, heaps of DFS action on Moneyball. So it's fantastic if you can get across there and help support them, as they have been a great supporter of the show this season. All right, guys, there's a fair bit of basketball to talk about. We've got 10 games from Wednesday. We've got a surprisingly big six-game Thursday slate to talk about as well. So I'll throw it to Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night goes to Steph Curry. Yet again with Steph, another big game. Unfortunately for Steph, couldn't get the Warriors over the line against the Denver Nuggets. He did come home really strong. He played 40 minutes, had 38 points, including 5 triples, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 13 of 25 from the field, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. Yes, he had 8 turnovers, but otherwise everything else was pretty impressive from Steph Curry. Some big numbers yet again from him. His scoring is just a touch under 30 per game this year, which is amazing. 29.8 for the season. He's still at over 4.5 triples, 5 rebounds, 6.5 assists, 2 steals. What more can I say about Steph Curry and the performances he's put in this season? I don't need to. If you own Steph Curry and someone is trying to get him off you, make sure you're getting just a ridiculous amount back. It's almost impossible to give him up in a deal and get fair value back. It can be done, but it's going to take a fair bit of a fairly large haul. If I own Steph Curry, which I do in a couple of leagues, it'd take a pretty large haul for me to give him away. The waiver wire line of the night, for the second time in I think 3 nights, Garrett Temple of the Washington Wizards. Temple started, he played 32 minutes, had 11 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, but he had 5 steals, a block, and a 3. He started, and he still played big minutes, even with Bradley Beal returning. I don't think that it's really anything to get too excited about. Beal is going to be on a minutes restriction. Yes. But Gary Neal's also not going to be sick. Now, Neal was sick in this one, and he played just 6 minutes. Otto Porter was limited to 21 minutes with a hip injury, so Temple had to play extra minutes here. He's going to go back down to... If everyone was fit and healthy, he might even be a healthy scratch. I don't think that in any 12-team leagues or any 14-team leagues, there's much point in Garrett Temple. Yeah, he'll probably play 20 minutes moving forward once Neal is back in business. Now, if Porter has to miss some more time, maybe Temple sees a little bit more action. But I don't think it's enough that we have to go and add him in standard leagues or anything like that. But that is 2 strong performances in a row. But before that, he put up about 4 or 5 stinkers in a row. So he's just not good. That's as simple as it is for Garrett Temple. But the recent form has obviously been impressive. He's a top 50 guy over the last week, averaging almost 2 triples, 2 steals, 3.5 assists, and almost a block a game. Don't buy too much into it, though. The young gun of the night, Andrew Wiggins. 36 minutes for Wiggins, 28 points. He hit a couple of threes, which is a bit surprising for him, but he's back to his old business of not doing much else. 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. The really good part of it, though, is that his percentages were way up. He was 9 of 16 from the field, 8 of 9 from the free throw line, only 1 turnover. A very impressive night from Andrew Wiggins. My concerns with him still remain the same. The scoring is way up. He's averaging 26.5 over the last week, and he's actually hitting 1.5 threes, and that's going to go a long way to making him become a top 50 player. I don't think that there's any chance that he ends as a top 50 player by the end of this season. But for now, you're getting some good value. And if someone values him as a top 50, top 40 guy and sees what he's doing recently, I'd be trying to explore a trade because he's got name value. Obviously, Rookie of the Year carries a fair amount of weight. And if someone thinks that, yeah, this is going to be more of Andrew Wiggins we're going to see, I'd be okay moving on if I can get myself a top 50 guy back in return. But for now, just enjoy what's happening. I do imagine that he doesn't remain at this high of a level and his form does drop off back to similar to what we were seeing before. Still a really good scorer, but deficient in the other areas. The dud of the night, Tyreke Evans. He played just 7 minutes. He had 2 rebounds and 3 assists. Now, he was dealing with a knee injury. He's going to be getting his knee drained. He says he's going to be hopeful to play on Friday, but he's had problems with the knee, obviously, all season. He missed the first 6 weeks or so of the year. Came back, he missed a game last week with knee tendonitis, then returned, and now he's had more knee problems. It's not encouraging. It's worrisome, definitely. But if you own him, what can you do? You don't want to trade now because it's the worst time to trade. Maybe if he comes back and plays 35 minutes in a row for 2 weeks, maybe then you move on from him. But his production's been so impressive when he actually plays. But there is a concern that this knee problem is lingering and it does lead him to miss more time down the road. So consider it on your team, but not to trade him away now. It's the worst time to do it when a guy has missed a game with a knee injury and now had to leave another one with that same knee. It's not the ideal time to try and move on from a guy like Tyreke Evans. The DFS perfect lineup from Wednesday. At point guard, Steph Curry, 57.5 points, and Chris Paul put up 49.2. A big night from Paul. At shooting guard, Eric Gordon, 46 points, and that was he'd been really quiet. Now, his salary was appealing. It was less than $5,000. He was taking on the Sacramento Kings, so the matchup was good. But it's not, I don't know, it was a tournament play. That's probably about it for Gordon. But if you played him, it worked out well. Giannis Antetokounmpo, his second consecutive strong game, 41.2 points. A really nice night from Giannis. Sorry. At small forward, Gordon Hayward, 42.7. He thrives with Derek Favors is out, and that's fine because he has so much more offensive responsibility. Chris Middleton at 37.5. Some good numbers for him. He's been really consistent. He's been a great cash play, a pretty good GPP guy as well, but a really good cash play. At power forward, that's where all the value came in. Derek Williams had a career night, put up 40.4 points for the Knicks. I don't think you could have really expected that. Yes, someone was going to have to pick up the slack with Carmelo out, but didn't really expect Derek Williams to be that guy. And for the Hornets, Cody Zeller went for 39.5. You know I'm a big Cody Zeller fan. The Atlanta Hawks front court, again, that situation where play the Hawks and the big men can put up big numbers. At center, Amir Johnson's been definitely trending in the right direction, and he trended way up today. 47.6 points for Amir, and overall, that total would have given you 401.6 points. A lot of punt options in that lineup, obviously, with Derek Williams and Amir Johnson to a degree as well, and Eric Gordon, who hadn't been producing anything of late, and that would have gotten you a big score. So congratulations if you happen to have some of those players in your lineup. All right, let's bring up the box scores in a little bit more detail, and we can go through them. And before we go on to the box scores, those are going to be a quick word from our sponsors. All right, now we're back to have a look at these games. You can see up on the screen, the box scores are there if you're watching along on YouTube. The first game of the night was the Milwaukee Bucks and the Washington Wizards. Giannis Antetokounmpo, I just touched on him. Another big game, 19-11-6, 2 steals and a block. He's in red-hot form at the moment after a bit of a down couple of weeks before that. Really putting in some big, big numbers, and he's only going to get better, I think, as the season progresses. And Chris Middleton continues to surprise people, I think. 42 minutes for him, 25-5-5 with 2 steals. And the biggest surprise for me with Middleton has been his ability to dish out assists, which is not something that I really expected from him this season or in his career, but he's been a pretty good ball handler and distributor. Jabari Parker, his best game since returning from the knee injury, 22-6, an assist and a steal in 32 minutes. It was real tough owning him early on. He's still only going to have sort of back-end 12-team league value, but for now he has to be owned. And Greg Monroe, after a little bit of a downswing after returning from his knee injury. His minutes are sort of getting back up, and he's putting in some nice numbers. 21 and 12 for Munro with a couple of steals. Michael Carter-Williams was not good. Just 4 points. He did still help in the other areas, though. 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. Yeah, helpful in those other areas. The points is a detriment, but otherwise, yeah, not a great night. OJ Mayo lasted just 12 minutes with his hamstring, and that pushed Rashard Vaughn into more action. Now, Vaughn played 24 minutes. He didn't do much, only 2 points and 2 rebounds. But if Mayo's going to miss time, which you'd have to think he's going to miss some time, he's going to miss, Bayless is going to miss time, again, still with this ankle problem. So Vaughn is probably going to be locked in at 24 to 25 minutes for the next 2 to 3 games. And in deeper leagues, that's going to be important to make sure you're looking at a guy that all of a sudden gets this bigger role. Now, he might not do anything, but he could have 10 points and a couple of threes and give you 3 rebounds, maybe a steal. And in a league where you're going 20 teams, 18 teams deep, yeah, that's important. So just Vaughn is a guy to have a look at just for short term. On the Wizards, still no Marcin Gortat. He's in hospital with that infected knee. John Wall went 19-5-8 and had a 1-1, a pretty average night for him, and that's not a bad thing. Otto Porter lasted 21 minutes before leaving with his hip injury, 10-2 with a 3. That worries me a little bit. He's a guy who missed massive chunks of his rookie season with a hip problem. We don't know the severity of it. We don't know if he's missing any time. If he misses time, Kelly Oubre gets the bump, and he'll probably get the start there. But other guys like Ramon Sessions and Gary Neal become interesting too. Sessions is already interesting in his own right. 15 points here, 5 assists in 22 minutes. He's John Wall's backup, but he also plays some minutes next to Wall. And in a 14-team league, his ability to get you some decent scoring and some assists can be useful. So don't overlook Sessions even with Wall in the lineup. Brad Beal's the guy that most people wanted to see how he did. 23 minutes for Beal, 11-3-3, a steal and a 3-pointer. Great that he's back out there. The minutes limit is going to be concerning. We don't know how long it's going to last. It's currently set at 24 minutes for him. If you can still hold him on your IR spot, I would, just for the next week or so, and see what happens with him, because in general, 22 minutes isn't probably going to be enough. It might be better than your last player. Have a look and see who that last guy is, but maybe it's not. Keep him in that IR spot maybe for a few more games. Jared Dudley had a decent game, 13-6 with 3 threes and 3 steals. And Nene, who started in place of Gortat, went 12-2-3 and went really defensive, giving you 3 steals and 2 blocks. When he's on and when he's able to play, he has standard league value. The problem is how often is he going to stay healthy? Stream him in, use him, and piss him off when something bad happens, which most likely will be next week. The Atlanta Hawks and the Charlotte Hornets. This one started off ugly, and it didn't get any better for the Hawks. Paul Millsap, just the 27 minutes, 20-5 with a 3 and a block. And you look at all these numbers, everyone was reduced because the game was a blowout. Al Horford was terrible, 2 points and 2 rebounds in 28 minutes. Jeff Teague played just 21 minutes. At least he gave you 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Dennis Schroeder played 26 minutes, 6-5-6 on terrible shooting. Look at the Hawks box score and just disregard it. I'm not worrying too much about these guys. The minutes were spread all over the place. The game was over very, very quickly. On the Hornets, well, they did a similar thing. They were able to spread their minutes out, but at least some of their players put in big nights. Cody Zeller went 19-10. He had a steal. He had 3 blocks. He was really good, clearly. He's only owned in 43% of leagues. I don't know why. He needs to be owned in 75-80% of leagues. He has been really good lately. I think he's a fantastic fantasy player. I think he's a decent NBA player. He's only heading into his third season, so it's not like we've had a massive amount of time to look at him and say, yeah, he's terrible. He's a top 50 guy over the last month. In the last week, he's averaging 13 and 9.7 rebounds, 1.3 blocks. He's a good percentage guy, 52 and 73 on the season. He can get steals, he can get blocks, he can get rebounds, he scores. He should be owned in way more leagues than he currently is. So make sure that Cody Zeller is owned in your league. Kemba Walker went 23-3-5. He had 4 triples, 3 steals and a block, and was 9 of 13 from the field. He'd been a little bit down lately. Good to see him get back going. And Jeremy Lin went 19-5 in 27 minutes. And like Zeller, Lin's a guy who should be owned. Jeremy Lamb only lasted 14 minutes with a toe injury. He's not a standard league guy, in my opinion. And Nick Batum, only 25 minutes for him, 6-2-10. Overall, this game, the blowout factor limited a lot of these players. Frank Kaminsky had a decent night in 29 minutes, 2 triples, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. And he's shown, you know, definitely an NBA talent, and the fact that he can hang out there. He's still only a deep league player at this point. He'd need another injury, say, to Zeller for him to really become effective. The next game we look at is the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets. Derek Williams played 32 minutes with no Carmelo Anthony in the lineup. 31-7 for Williams on 11 of 17 shooting. He added 2 steals. That's great, but it doesn't mean anything moving forward. Even if Melo misses the next game, I think there's zero chance that Williams comes even anywhere close to this. The minutes will be there for him, so in a deeper league, maybe you look at him for short term, but I don't imagine this being an ongoing phenomenon. Jose Calderon had probably his best game of the year as well. 16-7-4, 4 triples and 2 steals. The risk of Jerry and Grant is definitely there, but for now, Calderon should be owned. Kristaps Porzingis, I thought he'd do better, and it wasn't from lack of trying. He took 17 shots, but 5 of 17, still double-double, 12 and 10, 3 steals, 2 blocks, really, really helped out. So it was only his field goal percentage that really hurt Kristaps.
Porzingis.
Yep, almost forgot to push that. Aaron Aflalo was terrible to start the game, got hot down the stretch, finished with 18 points with a couple of threes, but stock standard, 0 steals, 0 blocks, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. And Robin Lopez, another 31 minutes for him, 9-12 with a block. His role is now way more consistent. He should be owned in basically every league. Lance Thomas got the start with Melo out, only 6-3-3 for him in his 28 minutes on 2 of 10 shooting. He is not a must-own guy. Even short-term with Melo out. And Jerian Grant played 21 minutes. He went 6-3-3 with 2 steals. So the production's there for him, or that the playing time's getting better for him. Definitely a 14, probably a 16-team league stash, maybe a 14-team league stash. On the Nets, they got the victory, actually, which is a bit of a surprise. The point guard situation. Donald Sloan started, played 23 minutes, 8-4-3 with a couple of threes. That's okay. But Shane Larkin was clearly the better player here, and he is clearly the better player. 25 minutes for Larkin, 17-2-5 with a 3. The situation's messy. It's going to be split minutes, I think, for at least the next week. But Larkin is the better player. I see him playing himself back into a bigger role. And we see today, this is 2 games in a row off the bench. He's had better lines than what Sloan has had. I think that Larkin is a guy that, if you own him in a 12-team league, you definitely hold. If you want maybe a little bit of upside with a pick, grab him and see what happens. But he's a superior player to Sloan, and he had a really good night here. Joe Johnson's form has definitely picked up since the Jarrett Jack injury. 14-7-6 with 2 threes in 39 minutes. He is a 12-team league guy at the moment, I would say. And Thad Young, 19-11 with 3 steals. And Brook Lopez, 20-8. 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Though the big names there. Bojan Bogdanovic, after struggling for who knows how long, played 23 minutes off the bench, hit 4 triples for 14 points, and added 4 rebounds, but that's not enough for me to get overly excited about him. And Wayne Ellington had 10 points in his 26 minutes, and we're not getting excited about him either. The Indiana Pacers and the Boston Celtics, another big night from Jan Mahimi in limited minutes. 22 minutes for Mahimi, 10-10, 2 assists, 3 steals. Someone should own him in a 12-team league. Paul George, not good shooting-wise, 7 of 20. But did have 23, 8 and 4, so not a terrible night from Paul George. George Hill had 13 points. Monte Ellis went 12, 1 and 4. Yes, another 4 assists for Monte. And CJ Miles, his shot wasn't falling. He took a lot of them, 14 in fact. Only hit 4 of them, but 8 points. Still had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals and 2 blocks. So a nice overall sort of production from Miles. He should be owned in most leagues. Jordan Hill only played 15 minutes but went 10-8, so that's good, but it's not good enough that I want to go and look at him in a 12-team format. Rod Starkey, as I expected, he sat out with that foot problem. On the Celtics, Isaiah Thomas has kept on going, 28-4-3, 4 triples and a block, and Jay Crowder, his great season continued too, 25-2 with 2 steals and 3 threes, but Amir Johnson's probably the biggest story here, 14 points, 18 rebounds, 6 assists and 2 steals. He'd been playing into a consistent role over the last 2 to 3 weeks. He has to be owned, I think, in pretty much every league at this point. Kelly Olynyk went back to the bench and played 15 minutes, had 11-4. Jared Sullen just started, played 20 minutes, went 4-3-2. Jonas Jerebko played 13 minutes, went 5-4-2. The only guy who seems to be consistent at the moment is Amir Johnson. If you picked up Olynyk, I'm okay with dropping him. Sullender's not a must add. Amir Johnson's the guy who's been consistent at centre. Rebounder, good percentage guy, can hit threes. The six assists is an anomaly for him, and normally you'd expect some sort of blocks from him, but otherwise, he's worth owning. Marcus Smart played 31 minutes off the bench, went 5-7, had an assist, a steal, and a block, and again, just the percentages were going to hurt with Smart, but he is going to really help you as a rebounding point guard. Avery Bradley, 11-3-6 with two steals. He's playing huge minutes, 41 of them, but he's not a must own to me in a 10-team league, and he's a borderline 12-team league guy. The Dallas Mavericks and the Oklahoma City Thunder, I talked about it yesterday, that the Mavericks, big minutes to their starters in a back-to-back in an overtime game, guys are going to sit. Their entire starting five sat. So, unsurprisingly, they got smashed by the Thunder. This game was over at halftime. Some surprising performances. Namely, Salah Mejri played 25 minutes and had 17-9 with a block. There is nothing to take out of this for a season long. All there is to take out of it is that if it happens again, Dwight Powell's going to get big minutes. He played 32 and went 8-9 with two steals. Berea is going to play minutes. He went 18-3-6 in 31. Ray Felton played 33 and went 14-3-4. Nothing you can gain from this for season long stuff, I don't think. Justin Anderson looked all right in 27 minutes. He took a lot of shots. And at least he contributed in other areas too. 5-4-3, three steals and a block. But the shorter amount of time that we focus on that Dallas game or the Dallas team, the better. On the Thunder, Russell Westbrook was ejected for his second technical in the second quarter. 0 points for Westbrook. He still had 7 rebounds, 8 assists and 2 steals in just 15 minutes. So not a complete waste of a night from Westbrook. His shot was terrible. I said 0-3 from the field, missed all 4 of his free throws. So that was not good. But at least he racked up some of those counting stats for you. With Westbrook out, Campaign got 25 minutes. And again, he just looks good. 10-3-3, 2 triples and 3 steals. If I haven't said the name Campaign, it hasn't burned into your head by now. It should have. He is going to be good. He is going to be a very good player. He is going to be a very, very useful fantasy asset. Now, I know that people in the Red Rock Dynasty League listen to this podcast, and I don't know who owns Campaign. And I'm sure you're not going to trade him to him. But hey, send me an offer. I want Campaign. Send him to me. Serge Ibaka had 20-11 with 3 threes and 3 blocks. And Durant went 29-10 with 4 triples and 4 assists. Again, this game was just a blowout. So what do we get out of it? Not a huge amount, I don't think, from the regular sort of players. Dion Waiters had a nice night, 18 points with 5 assists. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Houston Rockets, Kevin Garnett was out for a rest. So Sam Mitchell needed a new power forward. So who did he decide to start? Well, how about you start the most immobile, injury-prone, plodding, useless center on your team as a power forward? That's a good idea, Sam. Let's put Nikola Pekovic out there next to Karl Anthony Towns, the guy who we're developing to be our center of the future. Want to put another lumbering oaf next to him? It's not like you don't have a guy like Gorgui Dieng on your roster who could play power forward, or Nemanja Bjelica, or go small and put Shabazz Muhammad at the 4. Nah, let's put Pekovic, a guy that's 3 games back after missing 12 months of basketball with ankles made out of glass, who can't play next to another center. Mitchell has to go. I know Byron Scott's a bad coach, but Sam Mitchell's got no idea what he's doing in the NBA. No idea. He needs to go. That said, Karl Anthony Towns had an okay game. 12-16 with a 3, 3 assists and 2 steals. And Pekovic played just 16 minutes. But he shouldn't have been there playing alongside Towns. Play Dieng next to Towns. Play Pekovic behind Towns. It is easy. It's straightforward. Speaking of Muhammad, he did nothing. 16 points, 2-2. He's not a guy to own in 12-team leagues. Neither is Zach LaVine. He had one good game and back to yuckness. 15 points for him, 2-2-4. Him and Sam Mitchell do not get along. There are issues there. Mitchell is giving him the old school. And this is a common thread. You're an old school coach, so what you do, instead of being good or know what you're doing, you just yell at players and make them feel like shit. Works out really well, Sam. Works out really well, Byron. That's the way to success in the NBA, because that's what Popovich does. That's what Steve Kerr does. Well, Popovich did it at some point. He doesn't do that now. That's what Steve Kerr does. That's what all the good coaches do. They make shit decisions and they yell at their players. You're an idiot, Mitchell. He needs to go. Ricky Rubio, only 9 points, but 5 rebounds, 12 assists, 4 steals, and a block. Definitely a bounce back performance from him. And Tayshaun Prince, of course, he's getting 19 minutes because that's imperative that the worst player in the NBA over the last 3 years plays 19 minutes. On to the Rockets, they got the victory. James Harden, 27-3-11. A pretty nice night from him. And Terrence Jones started the second half over Clint Capella, and it's his second decent game in a row. Now, JB Bickerstaff said that Capella will go back and start the next game. It was a matchup-based thing, but that's two good games in a row from Jones. I mentioned it yesterday. You should add him. You should definitely add him in a 12-team league and just see what happens. Even if nothing happens, he's putting up good numbers now. Dwight Howard, 15-10 with a couple of blocks. Another good night from him. Trevor Ariza, 10-6 with a couple of steals. Whatever. And Ty Lawson returned from his suspension. And, not ankle injury. Yeah, just from his suspension. 6-1-3. Two steals and a three-pointer. He's not worth owning. Jason Terry got the start with Patrick Beverley out for personal reasons. Terry had 10 points with a couple of threes. And Clint Capella, he still played 26 minutes despite getting benched in that second half. 7-7 with a block. And if your team build fits him, it still fits him. Just I would keep holding on, assuming he's providing enough value for your team. The next game, the Golden State Warriors and the Denver Nuggets. Andrew, first of all, no Draymond Green, and that obviously had an impact on the Warriors. So Jason Thompson got the start and played 13 minutes. Yes. 4-4 for Thompson. He can be left alone in leagues. Harrison Barnes got the most minutes since returning from his ankle injury. 18-3-1, two threes and two steals. He obviously picked up some of the slack with Green out. He can be probably added in 12-team leagues. Andrew Bogut also had his best game. 15-7 with a steal and three blocks. That's great, and we know that Bogut can produce when he plays minutes. It just doesn't happen often enough. Klay Thompson, 17-4-3 with two threes. Yeah, that's an okay night, but nothing too exciting. And Leandro Barbosa returned to the rotation. He played 9 minutes for 5 points. On the Nuggets, Nikola Jokic only played 16 minutes, 6-7 with three steals, but with Jusuf Nurkic hurting his ankle, maybe there's 5 or 6 more minutes for Jokic in the next game. Now, Nurkic said that his ankle is not a severe injury, but obviously it's not a good sign for a guy just returning from a knee problem. 8-4 for Nurkic in his 15 minutes with a block. Kenneth Faried played 20 minutes, and I really applaud that because he's not good. 5-4 for Faried with two assists and a block. And Jameer Nelson started over Emmanuel Mudiay, had 3 points only on 1 of 10 shooting, 9 assists and 2 steals. Mudiay had been so harmful this year to fantasy teams in his playing time that I don't think it's worth really necessarily holding on to him until he gets the starting job back. But I don't really see Nelson getting 30 plus minutes for the next 3 weeks or anything like that. This might be a week sort of move from Mike Malone. I doubt he changes it after being the Warriors. So Nelson's a short-term ad, and Mudiay is not a must-hold guy, but he wasn't a must-hold guy even if he was starting. The biggest news probably that most people want to know about for the Nuggets is Will Barton. He was back to being GOAT Will Barton, 21-6, two threes, two assists. His shot was falling, 7 of 11, 26 minutes. So the minutes are still reduced for Barton. So I think that we still have seen the best from him this year. I think that we're still going to be a bit of a regression with all these guys back healthy. His minutes won't be at that 35 mark that we saw for a big stretch of time, and that was contributing a lot to his success. So I'd expect some more duds moving forward. Darrell Arthur played 26 minutes and had 18-11. If only we knew when he'd get big minutes, because he's going to produce in that time. We just don't know when that's going to happen. Gary Harris also was big. 39 minutes, 19-7 with a block. I still maintain that he's going to be a 12-team valuable guy, and I'll talk about him a little bit later. Danilo Gallinari has been just red hot. 28-5, a 3, 2 assists, and a steal. The next game, the New Orleans Pelicans and the Sacramento Kings. Eric Gordon, 24-5-6, 6 triples, 3 steals, 1 block in 43 minutes. That's massive. He's been really inconsistent and hasn't been able to put up numbers like that for a while, but we know that he's got that ability. And Anthony Davis returned from his back injury, 24-10, a 3, 3 assists, and 2 steals. So good to have AD back. His shot wasn't great, 8 of 23, but just good to have him back in the lineup. With Tyreke Evans limited and playing just 7 minutes, Norris Cole got 26 minutes. He went 18-2-2 with 2 threes. Even if Evans misses time, I'm not adding Cole in a 12-team league. Drew Holiday, shot could not fall, 2 of 12, 6 points, 10 assists, and a steal. He's obviously, you still have to own him. Ryan Anderson only played 20 minutes in this game, oddly. 18 points, 4 threes, and 2 steals. So still productive. Only the 1 rebound, though, and he's very, very up and down. Alexey Ajinsa played 10 minutes, while Omer Asik played 29, and that's a crime against basketball. The Kings. Rajon Rondo, 30 minutes for him. 17, 5, and 10 with a triple one. So a big night from Rondo. And Boogie Cousins went 32 and 12. He hit 3 triples, Cousins. The percentages are bad, 13 of 30, but still, just an extra string to his bow. Omri Caspi returned, straight back into a 29-minute role. Yes, it was off the bench, but 29 minutes is 29 minutes, and I don't know why Quincy Acey started. 7 and 6 for Caspi, 3 assists and 2 blocks. That's obviously useful. Don't necessarily think if he was dropped, he's a must-own. It really depends on who you'd be dropping in that spot. Darren Collison, 10, 3, and 4. Yeah, it's still hold on to him. And Ben McLemore and Quincy Acey, who both started the first half, didn't start the second half, and McLemore played 7 minutes for 2 points. He's just he was showing some signs, but it's dropped off here, obviously. The Jazz and the Portland Trail Blazers, no Derek Favors again. Gordon Hayward, 19, 6, and 9 with a couple of steals. Rod Hood went 19, 3, and 1 with 3 threes and a steal. And Trey Lyles has played almost 25 minutes a game over about the last couple of weeks. 26 minutes for him here, 16 and 2 with 2 threes. That's not really interesting me for standard leagues, and it's going to reduce when Favors comes back, but he's showing enough to think that he's going to have some ability moving forward. Gobert struggled, 3 points, 8 rebounds. He did have 3 blocks, but he's not the guy that was drafted in the second round. It's pretty clear that he just hasn't been that guy this year. And a big part of that is his free throw percentage. 3 of 6 here in this one, and just not as productive as he was in the second half of last year. Hal Neto, another 26 minutes. The minutes are rising for him. The production's not. 4, 1, and 2 for Neto. And Chris Johnson, the Dwayne Wade stopper, was limited to just 8 minutes with gastroenteritis. On the Blazers, Damian Lillard was getting close to his first ever triple-double. Didn't quite get there. Only played 29 minutes, went 21, 7, and 10, had 4 threes, 2 steals, and a block in a very, very nice all-round line. And CJ McCollum is struggling with his shot a bit at the moment. He only hit, not many at all, really. He went 6 of 20 for 15 points, added 8 assists, but I think it's fair to say he's in somewhat of a slump. That's neither here nor there. You don't really do much with it. But over the last 2 weeks, he's ranked 150th. In the last week, 199th, and he's still scoring 20 points a game. That's because his percentages and his efficiency is well down. Over the last month, in fact, and this was a worry for him, for me, moving forward, or coming into the season, he's only a 67% free throw shooter this year. Sorry, not true. Over the last month. For the year, he's at 81, but he's had a significant drop-off in his free throws, and that's more in line with what he's done in his first 2 seasons. So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of his season progresses, because he's a guy that, before this year, I had played 100 games in the NBA. That's like one season spread over 2 years. A drop-off is occurring. You don't do anything with it, though. Like, you're not dropping him, you're not trading him. You're just hoping that he can retain most of the value that he had earlier on. Alan Crabb had a really full line. 11, 3, and 1 with 3 steals and 2 blocks in 21 minutes, but that's not something that's reliable upon. And the big men, just still all spread over. Noah Vonleh, 19 minutes. Ed Davis, 24 minutes. Myers Leonard, 26 minutes. And an encouraging night for Leonard. But these are not situations where I want to go and add these guys. Al-Farouq Aminu had a very, very Al-Farouq Aminu line. 10 and 7, but 2 assists, 1 steal, and 4 blocks. He's played a lot better recently, and I think that he should be owned in 12 team leagues. And there was a stretch where what he was doing wasn't useful enough. The last game of the night, the Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Clippers. Hassan Whiteside played only 27 minutes, but still got some fantasy stats. 10 and 11, a steal and 3 blocks. Gerald Green's 33 minutes. He continues to get big run. Goran Dragic is out. He's out for the next 3 games with a calf strain. Green went 19 points, 4 threes, 2 rebounds and a steal. If you need points and threes, he's the guy to add. And Tyler Johnson played 29 minutes with Dragic out. 8, 4 and 4 with 2 steals, a block and a 3. I'd be looking at Johnson in a deeper 12. Definitely in a 14-team league. Even a standard 12, I could see it. And Beno Udrih is another guy to consider. 8 points, 3 assists, and 2 threes. If I'm adding one of those guys, it's probably Johnson. But Udrih in a 14-team league has value there too. Chris Bosh, only 3 of 11 shooting. 11 and 12 with 7 assists. while Dwayne Wade went 16-8-4. Just as Winslow started this game, he was not good. 4-3-1 for Winslow. Just not his greatest performance. Whiteside came off the bench. I'd imagine that he comes back into the starting lineup for the next game and Winslow moves back onto the bench. For the Clippers, no DeAndre Jordan, snapping the NBA's longest active streak of consecutive games played. So Cole Aldridge got the start. You know I love Cole Aldridge. 19-7, 3 assists and a steal. Now, Jordan's out with pneumonia. Doesn't look like it's going to be too much of a long-term thing. He might miss one more. That's about it. But if Aldridge was to get long-term starting job here, he's going to put up numbers. I'm convinced of that. Josh Smith got the backup center minutes, 9-3-1 with 3 steals and a block in 20 minutes. But he's clearly the third guy in that rotation. Chris Paul, 15-6-12 with 4 steals and a block. And Pablo Prigioni had 8 steals in 15 minutes. He's a good guy for steals, but that's not replicable. JJ Redick only played 25 minutes. And the other minutes were all spread all over the place. 26 to Jamal Crawford, 23 to Austin Rivers, 22 to Wes Johnson. Nothing to get too excited about, except Wes Johnson, the triple one man, had a 3, 2 steals and a block, as he's known to do, and he can be a real streaming threat for those sort of numbers. All right, it is time to have a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk DFS for Thursday. I saw ya. Thursday. Now, starting off with the London game, the Raptors and the Magic. It is an early game. Check your DFS site to see whether it's included in your tournaments, your cash games, your double ups, all that sort of stuff. It may be, it may not be. Check it out. The Raptors are favored by 4. The total is 192.5. So obviously, it's a pretty low total. Lord Alfred Payton looks like he'll be back, but he'll be back in a bench role. Aaron Gordon rolled his ankle in practice, and he is questionable. If I had to put a bet on it now, I would say that Aaron Gordon does not play in this one. I really like Victor Oladipo at 6,000, even with Lord Alfred back. He's been putting up almost 32 points a game in his last 3. Payton will restrict that a little bit, but he's still priced at 6,000, so 30 points for him should be a decent spot. The Kyle Lowry matchup is a tough one because he's a good defender, but I still have faith in Oladipo returning value on that investment. With the Raptors, we'll stick with the Magic first. Toby Harris at 5,600 is not a matchup I want to go for against the Raptors. He's been inconsistent and only averaging 24 across the last 3, which is just not enough at his salary. I do like Nick Vucevic at 7,600 though. He put up 41.3 in the last game, 36 average across the last 3. Jonas Valanciunas is not an elite defender. This could be a 36-37 point game pretty comfortably for Vucevic. I think that he's not a bad option. Evan Fournier at 5,000 is a tournament play only. And I'm not playing Alfred Payton in his first game back from an ankle problem. For the Raptors, Corey Joseph is a punt play in a tournament. He's priced at 3,800. He played 31 minutes in the last game. He's taking some of the minutes with Damari Carroll out. He put up 23 in that last game. And if he does 23 again against the Magic team who's weak in the backcourt, that's value. I'm not going to use any James Johnson. He hasn't been getting it done. Terrence Ross is the other guy who you can consider. He's priced the same as Corey Joseph. He hasn't been as productive, but he's probably more of a tournament play because his upside is higher. I like Jonas Valanciunas as well, not because, you know, much like Valanciunas isn't a great defender, Vucevic isn't a great defender himself. Valanciunas is priced a full $1,500 cheaper than what Vucevic is. He put up almost 36 in the last game. He's got a 31-point average. I think he is a really, really solid guy to use at the center position. Kyle Lowry at 9,000. I like using him at 9,000. He's averaging almost 43 across the last three games. Again, the matchup against the Magic backcourt is not a tough one. I also like DeMar DeRozan. He's at 8,000. There aren't many high-priced shooting guards that are playing. Jimmy Butler's the other one, I think. But I like DeRozan at 8,000. He's a big chance for 40. He's averaging over 36 in the last three games. Again, the Magic, not great defenders. He could have Evan Fournier on him for big chunks of the game, and that could be a real boon to DeRozan's production. The next game, the Chicago Bulls and the Philadelphia 76ers. Pau Gasol has been ruled out already with combined shoulder and Achilles problems, but there are other injuries. Jimmy Butler is probable with an ankle, so he'll probably play. Joakim Noah is dealing with a sore shoulder. He's going to play. Doug McDermott is dealing with an ankle. He's probably going to play. Derrick Rose with a knee tendonitis. I think there's zero chance that Derrick Rose plays in this one. Again, it's Derrick Rose. It's his knee. It's the Sixers. Zero chance. So, birthday boy Aaron Brooks, he will likely get a start, or at least he'll get starters minutes, and he becomes a guy to take a look at. With Pau Gasol out, Joakim Noah will probably start. And at 5,100, there's some sort of interest in using him. But he hasn't been consistently good this season, really, at all. Yeah, you could throw him into a tournament, as you could do with Bobby Portis, who's at 3,500. But Bobby Portis, his highest score across the last five games, which has included games without one of the front court guys in there, 18.6. Which at 3,500 is not bad. And the matchup's really favorable for Portis. I'm not trusting him in a cash game, though. Nikola Mirotic has already destroyed the Sixers once this season. He's at 5,600. He's averaging 32 across the last three. Even if he only plays 27 minutes, I think that he's a pretty good option. And Taj Gibson at 4,700, he's going to see increased minutes too. The matchup's easy for him. All these Bulls front court guys, you could find ways to get into your lineups. On the Sixers, well, they face a situation where they're going up against the Bulls, who have got, you know, easy matchups in the front court and the back court. Ish Smith up against either Derrick Rose or Aaron Brooks, please. 6,600 for Ish. A 35-point average in his last three, I think he's a great option. And the front court, we know the Bulls' front court just leaks points to everyone. Jahlil Okafor at 64, he's got a 32-point average across the last three. Nerlens Noel's averaging 30 across his last three. He's at 6,300. Both of those guys have chances to really exceed their value in this game. Jeremy Grant has been ruled out for the Sixers already, so there's minutes on the wing. Do I dare put Bob Cove in? 4,200 for Bob Cove. He played 32 minutes in the last game, put up 20 points. Could this be an opportunity for him to get back in action? There's going to have to be minutes there, and let's be honest, Jakar Sampson's terrible. Hollis Thompson's no good. Maybe with his performance in the last game, Covington has earned more trust from Brett Brown. He's broken out of his slump, and he could have a big game. There's no way I want to risk it in a cash game, but in a tournament lineup, Bob Cove looks appealing. Jimmy Butler's at 8,900. And as I mentioned before, there's high-priced shooting guards. He's $900 cheaper. He's dealing with an ankle problem. He's also dealing with the fact the Bulls might be up by 20 in the third quarter. And if there's ever a chance for him to sort of sit down and rest, it's a game where he's got a sore ankle and they're smashing the opposition. So I don't want to use him. Definitely don't want to use Derrick Rose because I don't think he's going to be playing. Tony Snell at 3,700 is an interesting guy because if McDermott has to miss time or if Butler's limited, Snell put up 26 in the last game. And I am not a big Tony Snell fan. But it's against the Sixers, the minutes could be there, and the production should follow. Again, just a tournament option for him. We go from a game like the Bulls and the Sixers, which was full of fantasy value, to a game which is the Cavs and the Spurs, which has almost zero. The Spurs are favored by 5.5. The total is 196. The only injury to really mention is Mo Williams, but even if he was healthy, he's not in the rotation anyway. But I think that guys, there are a few guys here who are going to be under-owned. Kawhi Leonard is down to 7,700. He was pushing 9,000 earlier in the season, and it's fair enough. His play has dropped. He's only averaging 28 across his last five. But I think that this is a big Kawhi game coming up. The challenge of LeBron, he won't be rested. He won't be limited in his minutes. I think we see a 36-minute sort of performance, 35-minute performance from him. A big night for Kawhi Leonard. I think that Tony Parker at 5,900 is also an intriguing guy to look at. He dropped 39 in the last game. He's actually averaging 29 in his last three. And at 5,900, that has some value. LaMarcus Aldridge at 7,400, matched up on Kevin Love. He's in a really hot streak at the moment, averaging 35 across the last five. And at 7,400, you know, if he gives you 36 or 37, I think that that's something that you can use and you can get value from. Tristan Thompson, he lost value to Timofey Mozgov in the last game. Strictly a tournament, but I don't think I really want to risk too much by using him. And Manu Ginobili at 4,700. I like Manu. He's averaging 25 in his last three games. It's probably just a tournament play, but there's still value there. LeBron at 10,300. He's going to have Kawhi on him. I don't love using LeBron. That's over 10,000 for him. And when you got Kawhi on you, it's not... It generally, now LeBron's great, but it doesn't end well when Kawhi's on you. And an argument could be made that Kawhi's a better player than LeBron at the moment anyway. Not a matchup I want to use, nor do I want to throw Kyrie out there at 7,700, despite his good game in the last one. The next game to look at, the Detroit Pistons and the Memphis Grizzlies. No spread out for this one at this point. We don't know if Mike Conley's going to play, and that's probably the biggest reason for there being no spread. Matt Barnes is the other one who missed last game with a thumb problem. If Conley is out, then obviously Mario Chalmers gets the start and plays big minutes. He's priced at 5,200. He put up 30 in the last game, and you'd expect him to go for 30 again, and he would make a good DFS play if Conley was out. Marc Gasol at 7,400. Yeah, maybe. Maybe there's some value there. He did put up 39 in the last one, but nothing really strikes me as an awesome matchup. I don't like Andre Drummond in this one. I don't really love Reggie Jackson going up against the Grizzlies. Marcus Morris has been terrible, even though he's priced at under 5,000. I reckon we can let him pass. Same with Ersan Ilyasova. Zach Randolph at 6,600. Not a good matchup for him. Tony Allen's interesting. 4,500. He's averaging over 30 the last three games, which just feels impossible, but he is doing it. Do you trust him to do it again? I probably don't, but I trust him to get close to 25, which would give him 5x value. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 6,000. This is not the matchup for him going up against the Grizzlies. And Jeff Green was benched in the second half of last game for the Grizzlies, and he's priced at 4,400, and that still seems high. I don't mind Courtney Lee at 4,100. He's not an exciting guy, but if you've got some other high-priced players and you want to throw a cheap guy in there, Courtney Lee could get you 22 points. He could also get you 16, but I don't imagine he's going to be completely terrible. He could be. I don't imagine he will be. The Sacramento Kings and the Utah Jazz is the next game. We don't know if Derek Favors is going to play. I would say that he doesn't at this point. He didn't even participate in shoot around for today's game. So Trevor Booker at 4,200 becomes a tournament option. He might get extra minutes. Same as Trey Lyles at 3,700. And Lyles is averaging 17.5 over his last three, which isn't spectacular. But at 3,700, it's almost bordering on 5x value. Plus, they're playing the Kings. I like Rod Hood and Gordon Hayward. 7,300 for Hayward, 36 average in the last three. Hood at 5,300 is averaging 24. Both of those guys, I think, can exceed their value against a team like the Kings, whose defense is pretty weak. And Trey Burke at 4,600, the matchup is not too bad for him. DeMarcus Cousins, he's 10,600, and he's got to play Rudy Gobert. That's too expensive despite how well he's been playing, and against the Gobert situation is not good for me. And Rajon Rondo at 8,000, that's too expensive against the Utah defense. I'd be avoiding guys like Rondo, like Cousins, like Rudy Gay, Omri Caspi, all of these Kings guys. To me, they're in a no-win situation. Speaking of no-win situations, the Los Angeles Lakers take on the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are favored by 17, and the total is 215. We need to check the status of a lot of the Warriors guys due to rest. Draymond Green said that he was going to probably miss both games. He might not play. Andrew Bogut played 32 in the game on Wednesday, so he's a big chance to, if not rest completely, it'd be really limited. So we could see bigger minutes for Festus Ezeli. So check on it before the game. But we might, if you see 26 minutes from Festus Ezeli and he's at 4,300, he's a DFS option. Harrison Barnes, I think at 4,900, is a pretty good cheap wing player. He should hopefully get back to 30 minutes and work himself back into some form, put up 27 points in today's game. Kobe Bryant is also doubtful to play. Team doctor Gary Vitti said that he'd like him to sit out 1 to 2 weeks with his sore Achilles. Kobe probably won't do that, but I also think there's no chance that they risk him if there's a chance of a serious injury, because they want him to be around for as long as possible this season. So I don't think Kobe plays. So Jordan Clarkson, Lou Williams, and hopefully D'Angelo Russell get bigger run here. The biggest value on the Lakers, though, is Larry Nance at 4,400. Brandon Bass is already not playing, so more minutes there for Nance. He's a 24-point average across his last three, and he's only at 4,400. He's had a 30-point game in the last five. I really like Larry Nance here. For the Warriors, it all depends on who's playing. You have to check to see who's resting. Andre Iguodala might be intriguing. Steph Curry's at 10,700, but after playing 38 minutes or 40 minutes today, could he play 30? Could he play 29 against the Lakers if the game's out of control? I think there's a big chance of that, and I don't want to spend 10,700 to find out. Klay Thompson at 7,600 has been a little bit underwhelming lately, but the Lakers are obviously a different sort of story. Don't know if I'd really want to use him. D'Angelo Russell's the other one at 5,200. In a cash game situation, probably not, but in a tournament, yes, he can go pretty big if Byron Scott takes the reins off, hopefully. I reckon that's just about it for the DFS part. Let's talk about my picks of the day, and then I'm going to answer a couple of listener questions. At point guard, Corey Joseph, 3,800. Ish Smith, 6,600. And Kyle Lowry, 9,000. Shooting guards, Courtney Lee, 41. Victor Oladipo, 6,000. And DeMar DeRozan, 8,000. At small forward, Harrison Barnes, 49. Nikola Mirotic, 5,600. And Kawhi Leonard, 7,700. Power forwards, Taj Gibson, 47. Nerlens Noel, 6,300. And there is no high-priced power forwards on the board today at all. At center, Festus Ezeli, 43, if Bogut's out. Jarly Lokofor, 6,400. And Nick Vucevic at 7,600. All right, let's go and answer a couple of these questions that you guys tweeted in. All right, the first one comes from Vatsal Bell, who's on Twitter at Vatsal Bell. Terrence Jones and J.R. Smith, enough upside to be owned in a 12-team league? Yes and yes. Terrence Jones, I've said it the last couple of days, own him. J.R. Smith is playing huge minutes and really productive. Both those guys need to be owned in 12-team leagues. Mike on Twitter at MJ Glick. Who are some guys not on rosters now that are most likely to be an impact player in the fantasy playoffs? Now, I assume that Mike means not on fantasy rosters. I hope he doesn't mean guys that aren't on NBA rosters, because that would be, I'd have to be a magician to pick that out. But guys who typically aren't on many rosters that I think that were going to be an impact player in fantasy playoffs. Markieff Morris is one of them. I think he'll be on a different team, and I think that he is going to be a guy that could be a top 100 guy heading into the fantasy playoffs. Zach LaVine, hopefully Sam Mitchell just goes, okay, play 28 minutes, play 30 minutes as the shooting guard, and he will be a guy that maybe a top 70 guy. Jerian Grant, I think, will take the starting job of Jose Calderon as we head into February or late February. Gary Harris of Denver, he's already in that guy, that role where I think that in a 12-team league you want to own him. His percentages are way up, but he's under-owned. I think he's going to be a real key piece for the Nuggets. And the other guy is a player who's injured at the moment, but will come back and be a defensive stalwart for a team, and that's Rondé Hollis-Jefferson of which team? The Brooklyn Nets. He's not going to score, but he's going to give you rebounds for a shooting guard. He's going to give you steals. He'll block some shots. He's going to be useful in the other categories. And once he comes back, the Nets are going to be terrible. So they're going to want to get him back into a decent role. So Rondé Hollis-Jefferson is the other guy. Last question comes from Bring the Noise on Twitter at 574DougieFresh. With assists being 0.3 more than a rebound on most DFS sites, when doing GPPs, could it be smart to focus more on guards than centers and forwards? And I assume this is for sites like DraftKings that have got a utility spot where you obviously can choose what position you want to use. The theory makes sense, but the reason that assists are priced more than rebounds is that rebounds are easier to get than assists, or assists are harder to get than rebounds. So yes, it makes sense, an assist is worth more than a rebound, but you know, players average 3.5 assists, in general over a team. And rebounds are average 6. So I don't necessarily think... It's also harder to find guys that get assists. They're more concentrated towards the top of the top guys. So, you know, guys like Chris Paul, John Wall, Russell Westbrook getting 10. And then you get guys getting 1, 2. Whereas rebounds, there's the big rebounders. But then there's guys who get 3 and 4 and 5 comfortably. So I understand the theory, but I don't necessarily think that's the way it works out. I reckon that you still get value from those centers and forwards, and the 0.3 less for a rebound is more than made up for by the actual extra volume of rebounds you get. And it's easier for a guy to have a random big rebound game than it is to be a random assist guy. That's what I think anyway. Find me on Twitter at redrock_bball, which you can see on the screen below me now. Basketball Monster is at Bask Monster on Twitter, so make sure you're following along there. And also, of course, check out hardwoodparoxysm.com and basketballmonster.com for all your basketball articles and fantasy basketball tools. That's it. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Subscribe on YouTube. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.